Are you aware that skin is the largest organ you have in your body? You know, I learned that just a few years ago. Actually, when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, but also means that you need to know how to care for that organ and protect it. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. As the warmer weather and the longer days approach, we really need to be thinking about how to protect skin. And I'm happy to have Dr. Apple Bodemer with us today. She is an assistant professor in the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. She's a board-certified dermatologist and board-certified in integrative medicine as well. Great to have her along today to talk about she's really interested in a holistic approach to healthcare. It's wonderful to have her along, and as we talk with her about summer skin care, I hope you'll join us. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you can post your questions or your comments there. And Dr. Apple Bodemer, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, here we are, middle of May. The sun is going to start feeling pretty strong pretty soon, I think. What should we be routinely doing to protect our skin?
Well, I look at UV protection as kind of a three-tiered approach.
Okay.
With the first being avoiding the midday sun if you can. And that's generally between the hours of 10 and 2 to 10 and 4. One good rule of thumb is if you can see, if your shadow is shorter than you are, then you should look for some shade.
Mm-hmm.
The second tier to that approach is protective clothing and wide-brimmed hats. So there are lots of really attractive hats out there now that have a nice wide brim and will do a great job of protecting your face. The protective clothing, you want to look for something that's labeled as a UPF 50, and that will block only 1/50th of the UV rays you're exposed to will get through that type of clothing. And then finally, sunscreen is also a very important part of sun protection. My general rule of thumb is broad spectrum. It needs to have both UVA and UVB protection, and it should be an SPF of 30 or above.
Okay. Is 50 better than 30? Or
the amount of UV radiation that it blocks is very minimal, and what you're really getting is more time in the sun before you would start to experience burning and damage, but that needs to be reapplied. So a lot of times people think they put a 50 on, they're good for the day, when whether it's a 30, 50, or 100, it needs to be reapplied every 2 hours.
Okay. Should we be worried about all exposed skin or just some areas?
No, all of your exposed skin is susceptible to UV damage, and that is what causes skin cancer and aging as well.
I spend a lot of time in the sun during the summertime, especially playing golf, but I always wear a cap. But the top of your head, if you're not wearing a cap or some sort of headgear, top of your head, and that's an area where it's kind of hard to see without using mirrors or whatever. If something appears, hard to notice it.
Yeah, it is a very important part of your body to protect. Again, I like the wide-brimmed hats better than a baseball cap because a wide-brimmed hat will also protect
your ears
and the back of your neck. And as we get older and the hair starts to thin or disappear on top, that's an area that people just sort of think, oh, there's hair up there. I don't need to wear sunscreen, or that a hat isn't necessary, and that's not true.
Hair's long gone from the top of my head for the most part here. So, yeah, I know for sure it's something that I need to take care of. And for our listeners, as you listen to the show, what do you do to protect the skin and prevent skin cancer? Have you ever had skin cancer? Certainly love to have you share your story with us. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Had a note from Colleen from Spring Green, who says, I've heard that some exposure to the sun every day is actually good for you. You know, gives you some vitamin D, even helps to fight some cancers. And wondering if that's true. Can you address this? Also, what about the chemicals in many sunscreens? Are there some that, are there safe choices? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, this is kind of a big question. I'll break it down. most of us are getting enough unprotected UV exposure during the day as our sunscreen wears off. If people have real concerns and want to be in the sun without sunscreen, again, I would recommend the earlier in the morning or later in the day. I think in terms of maintaining adequate vitamin D levels, which Colleen, you're right, are very important for overall health, not just prevention of some cancers, but appears to affect mental health as well. But supplements are, in my book, the way to go. They're very safe. They're very easy to get. They're typically very small capsules. And if you have concerns about what your vitamin D level is, that's something you can talk to your primary doctor or other provider to get a vitamin D level checked.
Very, very good advice. And Colleen, thanks for that question. Noah in New Glarus, we turn to you next. Hi, Noah. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I have a question about skin that has been previously burned, not necessarily by sun, but say second and third degree burns that have recovered, and skin exposure to those, and any extra ways that that can be protected.
Yeah. And for some people, the healing process is complete and there's not a lot of difference between previously damaged skin or injured skin like that. But with real severe burns, there can be oftentimes the skin is thinner in that area and maybe more susceptible to burns. So it is important to use your protective clothing, try to avoid that midday sun, and wear extra sunscreen.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Noah. Other callers online, again, you can join us. We still have an open line at 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Rebecca in Waupaca next. Hi, Rebecca. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I was wondering, I'm a new first-time mom. I have a seven-month-old baby, and I am kind of crazy about making sure that she's covered and sunscreen and all that. I'm wondering, what is the best type of sunscreen for her? And I'm sure clothing is probably the best bet, but what type of sunscreen and maybe even what type of bug spray too?
Okay. Yeah. I also want to point out that under 6 months of age, the general recommendation is no direct UV exposure. So at 7 months, you can start having your baby out more in the sun. And I look for sunscreens that contain zinc oxide or titanium dioxide. Some really great ones are out there on the market. A lot of them, the really great ones come from Australia, where they have a lot more difficulty with skin cancer and sun damage. But you want to look for something that's labeled for baby. And there's one out there in particular called Blue Lizard. They have a baby one, and it's got a UV measure in the bottle. So the bottle will turn a different color.
Oh.
When there's enough UV exposure to need sunscreen.
Oh, so that's readily available?
It's pretty readily available. You might have to look online for it depending on where you shop. I have seen it in general commercial stores.
Okay. So a Walgreens might have it.
And I don't really have any particular association with any brand. There are a lot of great ones out there. I would just definitely look for something that contains one of the physical blockers, the zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, and that is labeled for baby.
Mm-hmm. Remember back in my youth, lifeguards would always have this. They would always have white noses and white ears, and that was zinc, I assume. Then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that was, and that's the best you can get. Most people don't want to walk around with a white mask on their face, but I think they come in different colors too. Now you can get that thick zinc paste and.
Oh, you can! I didn't know that. Oh my goodness me! Talking today with Dr. Apple Bodemer, who is with the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Spends a lot of time dealing with skin care issues and skin cancer, and we're talking with her about summer skin care. You can join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Again, email us at talk@wpr.org. Eric in Madison, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Eric. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I just had a comment and then a question. I've never experienced skin cancer, even though I spent a lot of time out in the sun and browning, it burns pretty easily myself, but my mother actually had a bout of skin cancer on her nose and had multiple surgeries and then some reconstructive surgery because of years of being out in the sun and not ever putting on sunblock. I mean, I remember as a kid 30 years ago where she would lay out in the sun with baby oil on her skin to try to get a better tan. And even as a young kid, I didn't see how that was really a good idea. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And so, but then I, my question actually is that I have a 3-year-old who's very fair skinned, and I'm just wondering, you know, he's out in the sun a lot, and while we do apply sunblock to him, it still seems that, that he gets pretty, he can get pretty red, and I wonder if there's some better practices that you know, you mentioned about reapplying every couple of hours, and we hadn't been doing that. We would go for, you know, maybe 5 or 6 hours and not thinking about it. But also just if there's some better practices, or if there's some concerns about certain products that maybe, you know, because he's always got his hands in his mouth and things like that. You know, I mean, I just wonder if there's any sort of concern with certain products for a toddler.
Sure.
Yeah, and so the biggest mistake that people make with sunscreen is not putting enough on, first of all, and then not reapplying it. So making sure that you're putting an adequate amount on, and it's always hard if you've got a 3-year-old, but what we generally say is about an ounce to cover an adult body. So a bottle that's 6 ounces big, it should not last you even through half the summer. You should be using it, and you should be going through those bottles of sunscreen if you are spending time outdoors. And then reapplying every 2 hours. The only adjustment for that would be if you're in water, if he's at a splash park and he goes and he's in the water for 20 minutes, gets out, you dry him off. All that really great sunscreen comes right off under the towel, so even though it hasn't been the full 2 hours, it needs to be reapplied. In terms of question about products and safety, there's a lot of different opinions out there and concerns, ranging, you know, there's a huge range of those concerns. I personally have 4 young children, so I definitely, their hands are in their mouths all the time. They're doing, you know, all kinds of things. And sunscreen does drip, get in eyes, gets in mouths. So I really encourage people to look for products that are labeled as hypoallergenic for babies, and the baby sunscreens are really great for adults who have sensitive skin as well. For concern about the chemicals, I think the Environmental Working Group has some great resources. They put out a sunscreen guide every year, and they rate their sunscreens, and you can look at their ratings and sort of look at what concerns you have and see if they address a range of concerns about sunscreens in general.
So the Environmental Working Group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Environmental Working, and it's EWG.org.
EWG.org. Mm-hmm. We'll try and put that up, post that up on our Facebook page, too, so that if people forget it, EWG.org, Environmental Working Group.
And I do want to say that you should look at all of their information, because some of the things that they talk about might not be a concern for some people. There's, you know, a lot that goes into the ways that they rate chemicals, and we all have our own individual levels of tolerance for things and concerns.
Yeah, makes good sense. Thanks a lot for calling, Eric. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with Dr. Apple Bodemer, taking a look at the health of your skin today. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheryl Gasser, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at skin cancer today with our guest, Dr. Apple Bodemer. I'm really pleased to have her with us today. And I hope you'll join in. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@WPR.org, post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Certainly love to hear from you. One of the things that I have tried to do, and I've gone online, and I've also gotten some information from my physician, Jim Sossman from UW, about potential skin cancers and what they look like, so that I've been able to, at least from a sort of a lay perspective, take a look. But how do you self-check? Mm-hmm. What's a good way to do it?
Yeah, I think skin self-checks are really the most powerful tool you have for early detection of skin cancers. And about half of melanomas are actually found by a patient or a partner. So it's when you catch things early, it really has a big difference in terms of what the treatment can be. So I really want to make sure that people understand that this is very important. I recommend spending 5 minutes once a month just using a wall mirror and a hand mirror to look over your skin. And in the beginning, if you're somebody that has a lot of sun damage, a lot of moles, that's going to feel really overwhelming. And I have some patients that just say, I can't do it. I don't know what I'm looking for. But the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with your skin and the kinds of moles you grow and the kinds of spots you accumulate. And you'll be much, much more likely to pick up something that's new or changing. The American Academy of Dermatology has a really wonderful it's a really wonderful resource in general for anybody who has questions about skin cancer, but they have a video that actually takes you through somebody doing their own skin self-check. They also have some pictorials about how to use those mirrors to do those skin self-checks, and that you would go to aad.org, and if you just would search Detect Skin Cancer.
aad.org, yeah. And then search...
Detect Skin Cancer.
Maybe Cheryl can put that up on our Facebook page as well. We'll put that up on the page so that people can, we'll have it. And so that's it, five minutes a month?
That's what I generally recommend, because the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll get. You know, and it just really is making a commitment of time and space to spend that time getting to know your skin.
Yeah. Well, we have Margaret in Milwaukee with a question for you. Margaret, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I had two questions, but one of them was already answered. It was about chemicals and sunscreen and what should we avoid. And then the other one, I like to make stuff at home sometimes, and I've seen lots of recipes for homemade sunscreen. And I'm just wondering if you could comment on that, if you've, you know, explored that at all, or if you know what is effective or what is not effective. That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, I have not, and I have not encountered that, people making their own sunscreens yet, and it's, I'll have to look more into that. You know, zinc oxide is a great physical blocker, and so... You know, that if you're using a physical blocker, you have great UVA coverage, and it should have some good UVB coverage. If in terms of, I'm not sure what else are you putting in your, what other things are you putting in the sunscreen?
I haven't made it yet, but some the recipes that I've looked at have contained zinc oxide, then the different kinds of, like, maybe shea butter or cocoa butter or coconut oil, and then some people have put in beeswax, because that can kind of help keep it on your skin. But I haven't done it yet.
Okay. Yeah, the one concern I would have is just that the particles could be small enough and get dispersed evenly in the suspension of whatever you're using. And of course, then there's less control about how, you know, how evenly it's going to go on your skin.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the different butters, and they can coagulate in different ways, and you might end up, you know, with a handful of it, but not having it spread evenly on the skin. So that would be my only...
I had a question, and thanks a lot for calling, Margaret. I appreciate it. One of the types that I like to use is a sort of an aerosol can, or a kind of a spray can. Are those as effective, or can they be as effective as, you know, the cream that you wipe on?
Yeah, they're definitely efficient. There have been some studies.
That's why I like them.
Yes, that's why lots of people like them. But there have been some studies that you don't get an even layer. And when we talked earlier about the mistakes that people make with sunscreen, having an adequate amount that gets on your skin, when you watch what happens with these aerosols, most of it actually goes into the environment. And so that's a concern I have with something is better than nothing, but I don't think that's ideal.
Okay. Carl in Milwaukee, turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I've got a question about any problems that might result from the fact that as kids, all we did was burn, peel, and tan every summer. And so does that make us any more susceptible? And should we do anything more than the monthly checkups that you recommend?
Carl's probably a son of the, 60s, Carl?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. You are at higher risk for developing skin cancer, and you know, the basal cell and squamous cell type skin cancers that we see most commonly, the risk really is accumulative damage over time. And melanoma, the risk is increased with intermittent high intensity exposure, so the blistering burns when you were young. So you should definitely do those skin self-checks on a monthly basis and just really be aware of what's going on with your skin. Some of the ways that skin cancer shows up are sores that just don't heal. That's a big clue for me that we need to look closer at a spot when somebody says, I got this sore that's been there for 2 months and it just won't go away.
Okay. So something like that you really need to pay attention to. Thanks a lot for calling. You probably or you may have read Andy North's the story that he wrote, the Wisconsin golfer, U.S. Open champion a couple times, who had some cancer on his nose, and he wrote a very widely dispersed article on it afterwards. And he had, he did not realize what he was in store for in terms of the surgery and everything. Yeah. I mean, it's quite a bit more invasive than you might realize.
Yeah, and that's true, and that's why the early detection is so important. We kind of group skin cancers into non-melanoma, which are the basal cell and squamous cell cancers, and then melanoma is it's a whole different animal. But the types of skin cancers that most people get on their faces after years of being out in the sun with unprotected UV exposure are the basal and squamous cell, and they're not life-threatening. They don't shorten your lifespan. In otherwise healthy people, they really don't metastasize very much. But the surgery can be quite extensive. So if we catch these things early, there's a smaller surgery. But when they've gone kind of for a long time or gone unnoticed or people kind of put it on the back burner and say, oh, I'll get that checked out, when I have more time, they can get pretty large and the surgeries can be pretty extensive. And especially in the face, there's not a lot of extra tissue.
Yeah, especially on the nose.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not a lot there for sure.
Yeah,
he had a very good result and all in the end, but it was actually an important piece, I thought, because it made a lot of people aware, especially golfers, about the dangers of those cancers.
Yeah.
Roy and Madison up next. Hi, Roy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking the call. A great program. I'm a malignant melanoma survivor.
Oh, good for you.
I was diagnosed probably 18 years ago at the Marshfield Clinic by an internist who was looking at a totally different problem. It had nothing to do. But I just want to advise listeners to check areas of the body you might not think of, because mine was on the ear, and I couldn't see it in the mirror. And they wound up, it was a little bit more than in situ, and they did a reconstruction of square centimeter, and it went on. But I also have known people that have had it develop in the mouth and metastasize. So that's my comment.
Thanks a lot for calling, and good for you, and congratulations on surviving that. But I'm sure, Dr. Bodemer, you have a comment as well.
Yeah, melanoma, like I said earlier, it's a whole other animal. It can show up in parts of the body that aren't exposed to the sun. That's very rare, but it does occur. And that's part of the reason that dentists look in your mouth and they look under your tongue and do really extensive visual exam of the oral cavity. There are other cancers that can show up in the oral cavity as well. And fortunately, that doesn't happen very often. But there are other sites as well that you would expect to get a skin cancer or a skin-based cancer like melanoma, and it can show up.
Still another reason to have a regular dental checkup.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least once a year. Maybe like me, I think I do it twice a year, a couple times a year. Kurt in Cornucopia, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi, yes, I had a question. I understand that a lot of what we're looking at with these moles is for changes over time.
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I was wondering if anybody makes some kind of like a phone app where you could, like, for instance, I've got some sunburn moles on my forearm. I'll take a picture of your forearm and file it, and then sometime later take another picture and have that application kind of do the diagnosis for you if there's been any changes in your skin over that period.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. There are a lot of apps out there that look at, help you kind of identify what might be a concerning mole. I believe the University of Michigan has an app that they've put out. I'm not familiar with that, and I'm not familiar with any in particular that will, I'm not sure. They definitely might be out there, and that would, be definitely something to look into. But there's risk with that kind of situation as well. You know, so if it's a mole that you're following, just looking at the pictures yourself will help you identify change that might be happening. You want to make sure that, that you've got something in there to give you an idea about how big the mole is, because when we're using cell phones and portable cameras, we don't have a standard distance and that sort of thing. So putting a little ruler or
dime or something
will help give you an idea.
Yeah, makes good sense. Thanks, Kurt. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. We had a question from Eric in Kenosha who wondered, what should you do if you get burned? How do you treat it if prevention doesn't work? And sometimes it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And you're going to get burned. What do you do then?
Well, so once you're burned, you definitely want to further protect yourself from the sun and not be out continuing the damage. Ibuprofen can work well. A lot of the discomfort with burns and also some of the DNA damage that occurs via inflammatory pathways. And so that's something
okay.
that you can...
All right, so that makes sense. Is there anything you would put on, you know, a cream or anything?
Yeah.
Or
anything that's going to make it feel better. Aloe is something that's commonly used, and that can really help soothe that inflamed and irritated skin. Hydrocortisone is something you could try if it's really badly burned and maybe, as long as there's not open sores that can impair healing. I don't intend to say that people should slather themselves completely with hydrocortisone.
No.
There's risk with that as well. But if you've got kind of a small area, or if your nose gets really badly burned, that's something you can do to help calm down some of that inflammation.
I kind of like aloe. It's good.
It is good. Yeah. It smells good.
It smells good. Good for paper cuts, too, even.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there we go. Lots of good uses for it.
That's true.
We have Eugene in Monona up next. Eugene, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Great show. My question is about medicine that you use to stay out of the sun. I was told to stay out of the sun, put sunscreen on, and I did that. But even the sunscreen does not seem to help. I'll end up getting red even through the sunscreen. And I mean, I went up to 50 at least or better.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the medicine that I'm on is Prednisone, and it's
prednisone, maybe.
Yes, that's right, Larry.
Okay.
And then I think there's other medicines too. But the only way that I won't get red is to just keep covered up.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately, there are a number of drugs on the market that cause sun sensitivity, and keeping covered up is the best way to handle that.
Yeah, it's
and making sure you're putting an adequate amount of sunscreen on. If you're just putting a really thin layer on, putting a bit thicker layer on, that might help as well. Making sure you're using some of the zinc or titanium-based physical blocker.
Makes good sense. Or even just pure zinc. But you couldn't put that all over your body, though. That's
well, that's hard on your skin, too, right?
Yeah, that's hard on your skin, too, sure. Well, Eugene, so keep yourself covered up. We want you to stay listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. That's for sure. Appreciate your call. Dennis and Racine, hello. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My problem is I have psoriasis. Mm-hmm. I've got it over about 90% of my body, mm-hmm. and I'm 54 years old. And for decades, I've been told to stay out of the sun. And now, recently, one of my doctors says, you might as well just go out in the sun because if you were to get skin cancer, you'd be in your 70s anyways. So it's kind of a quandary for me to listen to your show going, stay out of the sun, when there's benefits for me to be in the sun.
Yeah. And there are some conditions like that, like psoriasis, where the UV radiation actually has immunosuppressive effects. And so people whose immune systems are revved up, like psoriasis, acne does better when people have a little bit of sun exposure. It usually does better in the summertime. Eczema is another one. And we actually sometimes use clinical phototherapy, meaning we use very controlled wavelengths of UV radiation to help treat some of these conditions.
So my question is, how much time should I spend in the sun, not protecting it?
Right. Well, I don't want to see you get burned, and everybody's different. Without knowing what your skin type is, it makes it hard for me to give you very specific individual recommendations. But it is true that for somebody like you, skin cancer, like the basal and squamous cell that we most commonly see, is a clock that just keeps ticking. It starts when you're a baby, and it's just all the little bit of accumulative sun exposure that we get. So if you're, kind of up a little bit further in years, then it would take longer for those skin cancers to develop, you know, but it's something you also have to keep a watch out for. So doing those skin self-checks is really important, and, you know, getting a little bit of unprotected UV radiation is probably going to help your psoriasis, but you don't want to get burned. So,
don't get burned.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep away from getting burned.
Phototherapy boxes are also an option, depending on where you live, if you have a dermatology clinic that offers that. And that gives very controlled doses of often UVB radiation, and, you know, that you're monitored very closely for burns, and they make sure that you don't get burns.
What's your opinion about tanning booths?
I think they're terrible.
What do you really think?
I won't sugarcoat it for you. More people get skin cancer from tanning booths than get lung cancer from smoking.
And oh my goodness.
I think it's appalling that they are still available, but the biggest users of tanning booths tend to be young women who are at the highest risk for developing serious skin cancers. And I'm seeing younger and younger people developing skin cancers. We're seeing younger and younger women in particular with melanoma, just because they're bigger users of the tanning booths. They typically will give you UVA radiation. So when we think about UV radiation, there's UVA and UVB. Most of UVC gets dispersed by the ozone layer, but so the type that we're concerned about. And when I was a resident, the mnemonic we used was UVA is for aging, and that includes aging of the cell, damage to the DNA, and UVB is burning. So the UVB gives you a natural indicator that you need to get out of the sun. And with this unopposed UVA radiation, you're not getting some of the clues that you really should stop. Oh. And you get that nice dark tan, it's going to really significantly accelerate the aging process. And so a lot of these young women that want that nice, healthy glow, or young men, there's a lot of male users of tanning bed as well, you're going to look a lot older by the time you're 30, 40. It's going to show. And not only that, but, you know, I've seen young women in their 20s develop melanoma who were avid tanning bed users.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Okay, that's your word. All right. Andrew in Madison, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, I have a question for the doctor regarding the liquid nitrogen that's used to burn, I believe they're basal cells, as they are seen by the dermatologist on my visits. That method versus one I'm told about, which is like some kind of a chemical that's put on the skin that destroys the harmful cells, sometimes even ones that the dermatologist can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I am. And I think what you're talking about probably are actinic keratoses. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. And these are precancerous lesions, some of which go on to become typically squamous cell cancer. And the liquid nitrogen is a great way to treat them. It's a very cold spray that burns your skin when it's applied, with usually either a Q-tip or a spray gun. And it kills off those rapidly dividing precancerous cells. The Effudex is I think what you're talking about in terms of the chemical that you apply to the skin.
Yes.
Yeah, and that does. That can see the rapidly dividing cells that aren't clinically apparent yet. Deciding which type of treatment to use depends somewhat on a person's skin type, how much damage they have. If they've got one or two actinic keratoses, or even three or four, it might be appropriate just to continue using the liquid nitrogen. If you've got a lot of sun damage and a lot of precancerous lesions, the Effudex is a great option as well. It can be tough to use, and people who have a lot of sun damage can end up with open sores from it. I always tell people when you start this, you're not going to notice anything for a couple of days, but when the medication kicks in and you actually start getting a lot of the inflammatory response that's responsible for clearing up those precancerous cells, you're going to look at me in the mirror and you're not going to be happy with me. And most people come back and say that. They say, I really wasn't happy with you, but now, you know, it takes 2 to 4 weeks for all the inflammation to clear up once you stop using the Effudex, and people's skin just looks better, and they're very happy that they did it, even though it can be a tough treatment to go through depending on how much sun damage you have.
But would it be done less frequently with the chemical versus the nitrogen spray?
That kind of depends on how much UV damage you've had over your lifetime. Usually, yes. Usually you do the Effudex treatment, and that usually buys you a period of time where you don't have as many actinic keratoses popping up because, as I mentioned, because it does catch those early precancerous cells that we can't see.
Well, okay. Well, that's exactly what I needed to know. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And let's get Doug in from Lancaster. Doug, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is kind of a two-parter. First off, with those of us gentlemen who have chosen to grow a beard recently, just kind of wondering with regards to placing sunscreen on the face, if I also need to include the area where my beard is growing. I don't know if that's enough sun coverage or not.
Yeah, if you have a thick beard, that's probably fine. It'd be really hard to get a sunscreen in a kind of thick beard area. If you've got a very sparse beard with just a few hairs here and there, then you would need to put something on. You know, and also if people are growing the mustache or the what do they call that now, Larry? The different styles of facial hair that maybe leave some chin exposed. You'd want to make sure that you're covering up your chin as well if you've got kind of the handlebar.
Second part being different type of skin cancer. Namely, my grandfather had Kaposi sarcoma in his older years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of wondering if sun exposure is a factor in that for later in life, or if that is something that is altogether different.
Well, no, that can play a role. It's definitely a less common skin cancer. It's not, something that... There's also a lot of other factors that play a role in Kaposi sarcoma as well. So, I would say that UV exposure is probably among a group of other things. It's not something that we typically see as a direct response in kind of everybody with UV exposure, whereas the other types of skin cancer, basal and squamous cell, most people who have enough exposure will eventually developed precancerous lesions.
Jill and Racine wondered if, there's sometimes skin cancer doesn't look like what you'd expect. We always hear about the irregular and all this, but mention that or talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, there can be some unusual variations of what skin cancer can look like. And melanoma has a couple variations that are uncommon, but definitely there's one called amelanotic melanoma, which means it just doesn't turn black. They are more red, which is why, early detection is important, and looking at anything that's new or changing is really important. Those skin self-checks, I just need to bring it back to that.
Yeah.
Because that's how you'll find something. Maybe it's not classic, but if you notice something's different or growing and you bring it up to your primary or your dermatologist, it'll get looked at appropriately.
5 minutes a month is all it takes. And again, where's that site where we can go and see the video on?
Yeah, it's aad.org, and you want to search Detect Skin Cancer.
AAD.org and search Detect Skin Cancer. Would you come back and be with us again?
I would love to.
Well, it'd be great. Dr. Apple Bodimer, our guest today, and as I learned a lot, I hope you did as well, and we will have her back. Lots of sun ahead. Let's hope there's lots of sun ahead here for over the next many months, so we need to keep those skin issues on our minds. And you also need to worry about your eyes, too, this time of the year. So we'll talk about, coming up next, talk about how to protect your eyes from the sun with Jim LaLuzerne. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheryl Gasser, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.